we tricked her into this, and she's been real gracious about it. So.
I'm dating your roommate.
That's true. Yeah, she doesn't have a choice at this point.
Unless y'all break up.
Yeah.
It'd be real awkward.
Like him kind
then we may have to pay you.
Yeah.
Then we won't have a producer.
We make an entire $0 doing this.
We make an entire negative doing this.
Yeah.
It's okay. We don't do it for money.
Looking good.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Take the nothing, carry over the nothing, and that's still nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
If math were that simple, I wouldn't have almost failed in high school.
Hello, and welcome to the Name Redacted podcast.
Oh shit!
Even Colin didn't know.
I am your host, Chris Nielsen, and with me are my two co-hosts,
Alexander Fulmer
and Colin Norris.
I did that thing again.
God damn it, twice.
I drank the water as we're doing the
other thing.
Such a dick.
Alex. And Olivia's here. Say hi, Olivia.
Hi, Olivia.
There it is. Get out.
Alex, you want to introduce our guests?
Yeah. We have two guests this week that are part of Inverse Press who do a lot of suspense and horror comics. Kevin and Nathan. And we're going to let them introduce themselves a little bit more in depth a little bit later. But I met Kevin a few years back when we did our first big convention thing, which is I went around to the Comic Book City Comic Con with an iPad and bugged people about giving me 10 to 15 minute interviews. And Kevin and his coworker Amanda Rachels were there, and they gave me awesome stories about how they were badass little kids.
Oh God, those are my favorite stories.
So that's... we were thinking about it recently, and you were like, you know what? The horror thing is kicking back up really hard, and a lot of people have showed a lot of interest in horror stuff. And I was like, fuck, man, I know Kevin and I know Amanda. I'll reach out to them and see what they can do. And Kevin was like, yeah, I'm working on Last Ride for Horsemen, and it can be me and Nathan. And I was like, fuck yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
So they're here.
Well, they're not here.
Well, yeah, they're on Skype. But
they're with you in soul spirit.
Yeah, I like it.
Get your hand off my ass, Kevin.
So I'm going to let you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves fully and talk a little bit about what you do.
Okay, I'm Kevin Laporte. I write comics as a side job. I publish independent horror comics. We refer to what we do as weird horror through Inverse Press. And I'll let Nathan introduce himself, and then we'll talk a little more.
I'm Nathan Smith. I'm the illustrator for Last Ride for Horsemen. Basically just a freelance illustrator and do a little acting and stunts on the side.
Oh. Ooh. I didn't know you were a stunt man. That's going to get talked about.
That's
you'll have a unique take on horror too, trust me.
I'm so excited for this because being a storytelling podcast, I know this is going to go really well with cool stunt shit. Yeah, I'm excited.
Prioritize those, Nathan. I know what's coming up first.
Yeah. He's no good enough.
But yeah, if you guys want to go talk a little bit about how Inverse Press works and some of the projects that are worked on there, that'd be awesome.
Okay, yeah. Like I said, we're an independent comic publisher, so we mostly publish through Kickstarter, actually. We've done 21, we're on our 22nd Kickstarter campaign, actually, to publish indie comics.
That's impressive.
One now is a book called The Absentee that ends on Tuesday that I do with a friend of ours, Rando Dixon. But as you mentioned, Nathan and I just finished one up in February called Last Ride for Horsemen. It's going to print this week.
Nice.
It's a steampunk take on the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Neat.
Yeah.
Very it's like it's centered down to one town instead of like the whole world kind of situation.
Oh, okay. Cool.
That's like, yeah. I actually remember. I think you talked to me a little bit about this during our first interview because you were talking about wanting to do a personification of the horsemen a little bit different than most people would usually look at them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, like, generally, like famine. It's like some emaciated little person that makes everybody hungry. We made ours a giant
plowman. Plow man, yeah.
Holy shit, oh, that's hilarious. Awesome.
I like the idea.
Huge scythe just destroying all the crops and cutting people in half. And yeah,
That must be is he the one with like the giant golden scythe?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's some of the stuff I've seen.
I've been excited about this since we talked about it like 2 years ago.
How do you guys must be some sort of Kickstarter wizards. 21 yeah. successful yeah, no Kickstarters?
Shit. That's nuts.
Oh, yeah, Kevin's amazing with it. I just kind of follow suit. He just says, hey, share this, do this. And I go, yes, sir. And it's amazing when it happens.
You should get in consulting.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Like,
I have, but on an informal level. I have a lot of friends that do this, that make independent comics. And it's a tough road to hoe making indie comics. You got to find people that want to buy it, and it costs an arm and a leg to print it. You know, they actually have product to sell at cons, to sell online. And so everybody wants to do a Kickstarter. It's not easy. It's not as intuitive as people think it is.
Right.
So, you know, we spent a lot of time building our audience for our first book, Clown Town, which we've now converted to Vicious Circus. And that was sort of the launch pad for us. And, you know, lots of trial and error doing the Kickstarter campaigns, but we've gotten a lot better at it. And, we're reaching better heights every time now. So we're really happy with how we're doing it. We're thankful to work with some really good cooperative artists that contribute a lot to make the campaign successful.
Yeah. Well, it also helps that whenever you crank out something and I go, here's it, you know, and Kevin's like, that's amazing. And I'm like, okay, good. He doesn't have a lot of corrections to make, you know, so yeah, it really works.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Doing collaborative team stuff and having it work like well is hard to come by, and to be able to find that formula with people that you actually enjoy working with has got to be nice.
Yeah. So is that something that you just like kind of took to like a duck to water, or is that something you had to sort of learn and refine as you had each progressive successful Kickstarter?
You talking about the collaboration?
We can talk about that. I was just talking about the Kickstarting process in general.
No, it's I actually do more research between every campaign because the environment has changed over the years. It's very different than it used to be. You have to use different sorts of strategies, different sorts of social media tools and statistical tools to see what's working, what's not, different ways to reach out to your audience than the beginning. It's constantly evolving, and you'll see people that did crazy $60,000-$75,000 campaigns 3 or 4 years ago that can't fund a $20,000 campaign now. And we don't get those sorts of stratospheres. We're, you know, more in the $4,000 to $6,000 range.
Okay.
So we fund them, and we're doing fine. Yeah. We haven't hit one of those six-figure jackpots yet.
Yeah. But you guys seem to you're able to keep your margins pretty low.
So absolutely,
it makes it a realistic goal in the long run.
That is the name of the game.
Yeah.
And as far as the collaboration process, you know, luckily me and Kevin were friends beforehand, so it actually just kind of melded into the whole business writer artist thing very quick.
Yeah. Well, that's our problem. We're all writers.
Yeah.
Like nobody on the podcast does like visual art. We're all just like, I gotta put words on paper, but I don't know how to do circles.
Yeah. I can draw a sweet eyeball.
If you give me 8 hours, I can draw one thing that looks not terrible.
I get a stick figure.
Well, we have Kevin do the same thing, and we, you know, his world class artwork. So we have people, you know, Kevin, sign your stick figure here, and they're like, oh my god.
I've had 2 commissions. People demanded commissions from me. I think there's a Darth Vader bust out there somewhere that I drew that looks like somebody with buck teeth and braces.
Oh, God. I love it. So you heard that first for the next con.
Ask Kevin Laporte to do you a country version of Luke Skywalker, and he's got you booked.
That'd be funny.
So you guys are obviously on the con circuit. How long have you been doing that?
Amanda and I started the con thing, and I think we did MegaCon 2010 was our first show that we actually set up as vendors or as exhibitors and artist alley. And we've kind of slowed down the past couple of years, but we still do probably 6 to 8 shows a year.
Yeah.
And still a decent number.
Yeah.
That's not bad. So we have a question that we like to ask a lot of our guests, because a lot of our listeners are people we've met at cons. What is your con story? Like, what's the con story?
Wow. Nathan, do you have one?
I think for me, Yeah, I think for me, it's one of the first ones I went to with you guys, and Kevin Sorbo was there. And it was hilarious because he comes, you know, Amanda was raving on about, ooh, Kevin Sorbo's here, Kevin Sorbo's here. I'm like, all right, cool. And so our Kevin decides he's going to go get a snack. And so he takes off, and then I look up down the alleyway, and I swear to God, everything slowed down, and background music kicked in as Kevin Sorbo's walking away to us. And we're like, I was like, holy crap, are you seeing this? Man, it's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, this Kevin coming. She's like, no, he just went to go eat. I'm like, no, the other Kevin. And so he's like, so he comes walking up, you know, and then like, you know, I mentioned something to him first, and I'm talking, and he's kind of gives, you know, I mean, I don't blame him. He's just kind of like, yeah, you, whatever. Okay, so who's this Amanda chick, right? So he's like got her by the hand, the slow caress. He's talking all sweet to her. I'm trying not to laugh my ass off. And then she actually talks him into doing the commission. She's like, yeah, I'll draw you a sign, Kevin Sorbo, and all that other kind of stuff. And so it was just kind of, and he's like, oh, and it was nice to meet you too, and walks away. And you're like,
just getting the fucking, like, the slow brush off backhand. Like, I know that you're here, but I don't fucking care.
Right? I'm here to talk to this really sweet looking lady right here. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I got you, Kevin. Do it.
So
as I recall, he reached in to try to give her a hug and a kiss on the cheek, and she like bashed him in the face somehow.
By accident, yeah. As awkward as you can get, man. It was hilarious.
He punched Hercules in the dome.
I ejected her. Sorry, buddy.
Oh my God, that's so good. That's almost as good as a coworker of mine going to give a woman a kiss on the hand, and she straight up just cold cocked him out of nowhere. Just like straight up, bam, right in the jaw. And I was like, dude, that was just for a kiss on the hand. She does not want to talk to you.
No.
You should take that sign and you should move on.
It's also 19. It's also not 1950.
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore. So kind of cute. It's sexual assault.
I don't know, man. It was awkward.
Interested.
If okay, not you don't do that to a stranger.
No.
Well, unless you're at a con, apparently, and then you do.
It seems Kevin Sorbo. And you're Kevin Sorbo. That's right.
And you're Kevin Sorbo.
The good old days when you could just put your hands on any woman you wanted.
Sorry. That was my roommate chiming in with his two cents on the subject.
With a
chalice of beer.
Oh, Jesus.
And talking about the good old days in the 40s, where it was okay to just tell a lady she had nice tits. It was fine. Like, nobody cared.
Oh, thank you very much.
There was a time when sass like that got you a backhand to the face. It was a stormy night.
Everything from now on, we're just gonna do film noir. This is the film noir episode. Yes. And
I used to hate noir, and now I love it.
Oh, I love noir. Noir's so good.
I want more noir comic books.
Oh yeah,
like, bad.
I like the old school, like cyberpunk. Yeah, like the old school question books.
Yeah,
like that were very noir style, and I love that shit. And I kind of like think the resurgence of some of the more classic versions of genre coming back is well on its way, and I'd love to see noir get a little bit of a push in terms of more recognition and more use, because I think it's underutilized.
It is. And Jessica Jones was really cool because they did a little bit of homage to that.
Yeah.
Speaking of genre stuff, we should talk about horror stuff.
Absolutely, we should.
Yes, please.
Everybody drinks water.
Sorry, and everyone goes silent when we say horror. They're like, "Who's doing what? Is it
like I said? We're recovering. It's been a long weekend.
We apologize to all of our listeners, and we apologize to our two guests for the fact that we're half here because of yesterday. Yeah. So
you're like having a con over hangover.
And a hangover. and a
real
hangover.
One. Yeah. It's that moment where you still don't feel like you washed all the con funk off you.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a film of gross on me and I can't get rid of it.
So, do you guys have any like weird fan stories from cons before we get into horror?
Yeah.
Cause we're still on the con subject. Like, cause I had an issue this weekend of everybody wanting to stand in front of the table that I was trying to get to.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
And like standing still, looking at their phones, not buying anything, kind of.
Yep. I have that problem as a exhibitor. People just come and hang out. They'll like put their bags on top of your merchandise.
Oh,
just
God. And chat. Yeah.
It's like, do you mind if I put this here? It's like, well, kind of. I'm trying to sell it.
Oh, then there's the what is it? The one convention that we did, we had this in. This little girl's come up and she's talking to me, and you know, and she's showing me her artwork. And of course, you know, I'm being supportive and like, yeah, continue with this. Go to school, do everything, do art, love it. Yeah. And you know, and then after a while, I realize, you know, she's been standing there for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and I was just like, okay, let's just move you to the side. How do I do this nicely? And at one point in time, she walks away, and every time another woman would actually come up and walk, she would just stop right back up to the table and start talking to me again. And I didn't dawn on to me till our other coworker Rando was like, dude, that little 12-year-old is totally crushing on you. And I'm like, aww. You just made me feel so uncomfortable right now.
The age disparity is huge.
Yeah. And the next time she comes up, I just noticed with her body language and her little cutesy tone, and I'm like, oh my God, he's right. All right, I'm going to go to the bathroom for the next hour. Maybe she'll get the point.
You should have just looked at her and been like, look, I got to take a huge dump. Maybe that would have been enough to get her to be like, ew, gross. Because 12-year-old girls don't like talking about poop.
Crush gone.
Other 12-year-old girls, I was weird.
So Olivia,
honey, can you stop? I gotta go take a grumpy. I'll be back.
So good. So Kevin, do you have any like really weird con stories or something that's like really funny or really interesting or something super memorable that just happened to you at a con?
The most memorable things, unfortunately, are like the I go to cons usually with Amanda, a table with Amanda. And, you know, she's really attractive and personable, and people like to watch her draw. And too often we get the con stalker.
Oh, God.
Sometimes it's the 4-foot Asian guy. Sometimes it's the, you know, 50-something, you know, pedophile profile guy.
Oh, no.
Over and over again, and we have to... You know, one of the guys has to take over and talk to these guys to get them to move along. So those are the creepers, frequent, too many that we end up at.
Not a good situation for anybody right there. So gross. Actually, what's really cool though is that we did a 1-year anniversary show that we never actually got to post. But we contacted a lot of the guys that we had talk to us over the years, and I contacted Kevin.
Over the years?
And
for our 1-year anniversary?
Let me just tell the fucking story, Chris!
Well, if you didn't...
Semantic-y bastard.
That's not semantic.
Just shut... I'm going to continue talking like you never said anything. Anyway, I reached out, and I reached out to Kevin and Rachel, and I was like, can you guys send us, like, little bumps? Just like little audio recordings of like happy birthday messages. And Amanda sent us the most adorable fucking birthday song.
It was awesome.
It was so cute. It was
precious.
It was happy birthday to you. And then at the end of it, and she goes, and where's the cake?
It was so cute.
So fucking adorable. I'm so sad. You know what? We're going to put it on. At some point, we'll do like a clips episode and we'll put it in there.
Yeah.
We good. So, horror.
So,
Chris.
Horror. Let's talk about some horror.
Go for it.
Colin.
Well,
we're just passing the buck.
I'm the horror hound of the podcast. I've, ever since Freddy Krueger scared me as a child, I've been obsessed with horror. So, is that kind of, were you lifelong horror lovers and, you know, what made you want to tell stories about killer clowns avenging children?
It's just what comes out of my brain. It's hard to... because I was traditionally a superhero reader growing up. You know, X-Men, Claremont's X-Men in the 80s was my thing.
Cool.
And I still read superhero comics, but when I write, it's going to turn into horror one way or the other. It's going to be some weird element of suspense or something bad happening to somebody. And Clowntown / Vicious Circus in particular came up in 2010. We were going to participate in this contest called Small Press Idol that folded the next year. It was a disaster. The concept for it. And I wanted to do something where we had a theme of vengeance against people who are abusing innocent people.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to have some monster, like Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees level monster, taking out child abusers. And we wanted to have the motif be something that kids liked, but that adults found scary. So clowns.
Yeah.
That's clowns.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so our clowns are avengers of the innocent and who are abused.
What an inversion. That's so neat.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's taken off. People love that story. They love the clowns and the angle that the clowns are actually sort of kind of the good guys. They're kind of evil, spiritual punisher good guys, but they're good guys.
Yeah.
They're like supernatural Dexter.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That's really neat.
Well, for me, I know I was the same thing. I started off as superheroes, but I didn't get into the clean cut Superman stuff for a long time. I didn't start reading till I was actually almost in high school, and the first thing that I picked up was an X-Men book on the and then I the first page I opened it up to, I noticed one of the characters was actually being blown in half, and but it was done in a way that wasn't gory, and I was like, okay, well that's neat. That just drew me in, and I became an X fan like ever since then. But I, as far as horror, you know, I mean, I love plenty of movies and everything like that, but I didn't actually get into the horror genre comic book stuff until I started working with Kevin, actually. And it's kind of like, you know, you're drawing it and you're like, yeah, okay, this is cool, yeah, this is okay, okay, we're gonna make this really gory. You know. And then one of my favorite things is that from that first episode, that everybody comes by at our convention table and flips open the comic book, and one of the first thing they looks at is there's a scene where this horse is actually biting off the face of another character.
Oh my God.
And the look on their face is like, whoa.
That's weird.
Yeah, like that makes it worth it right there.
Dude, that's awesome. I love the concept of an herbivore just biting the face off of a human being. Like, I don't like you. You stepped on my grass.
They're capable of it.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes.
They can be mean.
Yeah, it just depends on the horse that you're hanging out with. I'm just saying. Sometimes they're cool. Sometimes they bite your face off, and sometimes Kevin and Nathan put that shit in a comic so you can read about how that horse bites some asshole's face off.
Yeah.
Which is exactly.
And it's like, it's funny with all the things going on, it's funny that that's one of the first things that catch people's eye, you know? It's like, well, this is a big old story going on. Oh my God, his face is being bitten off!
It's the draw, man. That's what you do. You give them one thing to focus on and they're like, well, I want to know why the horse bit a guy's face off, so I got to read the whole thing.
Are you ever really surprised by the shit you come up with? Like, I can't believe I just came up with a set piece where a horse bites a guy's face off. Like, I can only because I'm writing a screenplay right now, and I'm like, I got to come up with some really sick shit. And if Olivia reads this, my fiance, not a producer, if Olivia reads this, she's going to leave me.
Like, what is going on in the back of your brain?
Exactly. That's what, like, we're, because we all have coworkers and people that we have active imagination, so I can only imagine where you draw your inspiration from. It must be pretty fucked in your head.
Well, I'll tell you, my training is as a psychotherapist, and I worked at a state psychiatric hospital for 16 years.
Wow.
I get it now.
So let's walk around in that for a minute. So you've seen some shit, man.
Seen some shit, read some shit. Yeah, it's just, you know, in histories and things like that, you wouldn't believe the stuff that happens in real life that's way worse.
Why don't you lay one on me and we'll see if I believe it.
The simple number of people, of men who cut off their own penises is a
Astroid.
You asked for it.
Yeah, you did ask, and
no,
you
it's
weren't
fine.
Prepared.
I did. I wasn't ready.
She wasn't ready.
I can see that. I mean, that's
a real phenomenon.
What's up?
That's a real phenomenon.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense to me, not to do that, but it makes sense to me that someone would do that because there's a lot of symbolism.
Yeah.
You know.
Penis.
Well, that's nuts.
Oh, really?
That's crazy.
You just made a dick.
I know.
Okay. Cool. You knew what you were doing.
That
all
was
right.
The best pun I've ever heard.
I fucking hate my co-hosts.
Dude, I love bad puns. And that one might actually be just purely a good pun. I liked it.
I don't mean...
Hello. Just so good. Oh.
What is that?
I was showing Alex a blank variant of Clown Town that Amanda did. That's Larfleeze.
Yeah.
Eating a piece of pizza. Alex loves Larfleeze for some fucking
and reason. I also got Daniel Trang or Randall Trang to do a comic book sketch cover of Larfleeze making pizza. So that's kind of cool. That
is
kind of
cool. Where do you see horror comics going in the next like 3 to 5 years?
To some extent, I already see it going there. I have been reading the Alan Moore stuff from Avatar, Providence, and Cross Plus 100.
Avatar is my go-to. Anything that Avatar puts out, Caligula, Feral. Cross Psychopath, any of those things I'll read. So I need to pick that up. I didn't know Alan Moore had two titles on Avatar right now.
Yeah, and he really takes Cross and puts a really unusual, smart spin on it without losing any of the insanity or gore or obscenity.
Right.
I still make me think, that was really a good read, not just, oh, fuck, what did they just do?
That's awesome. I'll have to pick that up. But my LCS doesn't really carry a lot of Avatar books, unfortunately.
Yeah, I do most of that through Comixology these days.
Okay.
Yeah. You like Comixology?
I really do. It's kind of the modern spinner rack, you know, in terms of you go in there and they have sales. You can just pick up whatever you want for 99 cents an issue. It's easy. It's easy to pull that up on an iPad and just check out a book and flip through it without having to pull it out of a box, out of a bag, out of, you know, undo the tape, put it all back. It's just, it's easy.
So you're not worried about the digital versus print thing. Comics are comics.
No, and actually the economy of comics shows that digital has boosted the whole marketplace and print has recovered a little bit since they're sort of synergizing each other.
Well, the mere convenience of it, not to mention these days, I know so many comic book store owners, they get approached by people with these boxes and boxes of comic books, you know, and it's digital. You're like, oh, I don't need that anymore. You just delete it, you know.
Yeah.
That's very true.
That makes a lot of sense.
Chris is dying. I'll take over
Chris,
that.
Chris is dying.
Don't die.
No, please don't
die. Man,
I was like not coughing at all before we started recording, and I had a cold all week. We went to the con, and it just kicked it back up in high gear.
Yeah, it's about.
I think Kevin likes to call it con crud.
Yeah, that's what we call it too.
Con crud. Yeah. That's a thing. I've yet to get it.
I think that I've like just muscled through it every time. I'm just like, I'm pretty sure I feel like shit, but I don't have time to feel like shit.
Yeah.
So I just can't let it win.
Are you guys
at the end of every con? I immediately hit emergency right after I had to do a con. I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to be sick. I'm just taking one of these. I don't care.
That's an awesome idea. I usually make sure I'm taking my Flintstones all week, but this week I didn't.
Do you really take
Flintstones? That's not a joke.
No, I get the gummy ones, like the adult ones, because it's different vitamin content.
No, it does not get the adult ones. Don't believe that shit.
Just sometimes you got to be nostalgic and get Flintstones.
My doctor recommends that everyone take Flintstones kids vitamins, particularly women, because they contain like high levels of iron and all that good shit.
Yeah.
So they're actually super good for you, even as an
validation.
Yeah. But people make the mistake of only taking one because they think like a kid, but after a certain poundage, you're actually supposed to take two and three, and they already taste good. So I'm all like,
it's like candy.
Super healthy.
It's like when I got in trouble as a kid for eating baby aspirin.
Oh my god, please tell me that's real.
How long have you known me?
Oh my god, it's real. It's a real thing.
I only had three of them. They tasted like Tic Tacs.
For 6 years.
I was like 10. I wasn't like a small child.
He was trying to not have a heart attack.
And eating baby aspirin?
Look, man, shit happens.
Like, shit, they circulate super fast.
Yeah, exactly. They do circulate super fast.
Yeah. My liver's shot, but.
This went to a place I wasn't ready for, I'm gonna be honest.
So, anybody else take weird medications?
They're not supposed to.
No, I just ate dog food out of my dog's bowl. That was about it.
I drank out of my dog's bowl.
Yeah.
So all right, guys, your turn.
There's a picture.
I just had a thing where I just loved eating burritos in Thousand Island. That's about the weirdest thing I did.
Burritos and Thousand Island?
Dip them in Thousand Island.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm in.
You're streets ahead, man.
Yeah, no, actually, yep. You know what? That, to me, weirder than baby aspirin.
It usually freaked a lot of people out, but then they would take a bite of them, and they're like, okay, that's not actually horrible.
That's so. How you should have gotten that girl away from your booth. Just dip a burrito in Thousand Island. And stare blankly at her while she speaks to you.
Just sit there and, like, blank stare her and just take slow bites. Like,
I've got one better. I think the best way to just scare someone away ever is just to keep a couple ketchup packets in your pocket, and then if somebody's annoying you, just crack one open and suck it down. Stare them in the eyes.
Stare at them. I like to lean in for a hug, get really close to their ear, and just kind of go, I killed Mufasa.
Oh, God. So when we were actually, this reminds me, when we were at the con yesterday, my girlfriend was dressed as one of her very own horror characters that she made. She actually does costuming, makeup, and prosthetic makeup and all that shit. And she won for most frightening costume, which was awesome. But she told me that she'd go up to people and she'd just like stand there all creepily and then lean in real close to them and go, you smell better when you're sleeping. And then just walk off. I was like, babe, we could get arrested. And she goes, no, it's a con. Shut up. It's fine.
Half of those guys are.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect.
Despite the fact that she was dressed as a demon.
Yeah. Like, it was funny because she's got shitty eyesight. We kept telling her to put her glasses on. And she was like, no. Demons don't have bad eyesight. They're fucking demons.
I'm glad you brought up demons. Because Chris and I had a conversation in the car right here.
We did.
That demons are the new zombies. Like, I think...
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I can see that.
How do you guys feel about that?
Demons show up a lot.
Well, you both talked.
What books are demons showing up in a lot?
Well, more in pop culture.
Outcast for one is one.
Yeah, yeah. And you just had like the T.J. Miller, Bob Odenkirk, Helen Back, and then like we got because a lot of times I see stuff filter up from like the Adult Swim level, and you've got like Your Pretty Face is going straight to hell. What's that? They just did another demon one.
Lucy, the daughter of the devil.
But that was years ago.
Yeah, but still, like it's kind of same thing.
There's some exorcism stuff coming. I don't know. I'm just trying to be Babe Ruth and point at the light and see if it pays off. It just feels right. Well, and part of it is the fact that everything is getting increasingly more and more PC all the time, and it seems like a really good way to make an excuse out of. It seems like a good way to make jokes without having to
carefree blasphemy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, I thought it was witches. I thought witches were the new zombies. This is the Scott Snyder Witches series from Image.
That's true.
The movie recently. I saw it, but I can't think of the name of it.
The Witch.
Yeah, that was it.
That was a joke. I just stepped right into that. Yep. Bless my heart.
Colin, you are just killing it today.
You did stick to the bottom of your shoe.
There's lots of that with witches in pop culture right now. But I think people are just searching for the next zombie because they want to be part of it, whatever it is, whether it's demons or witches. And so you get a lot of it all happening at the same time through the Zeitgeist, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And I have a vested interest because I'm totally writing a book about demons, but partially because I feel like that, you know, partially because I observed that first, you know.
Which is, yeah, that's a valid point. I see it too. Like, it's funny because both demons and witches are part of the afterlife with Archie universe. which is very interesting to me, because you get everything. You get demons, you get witches, you get elder gods, you get zombies. Like, you get everything, which is cool. What is that?
That's not getting recorded.
Oh,
it's just thank God.
It. I keep getting this fucking, like, boom in my ear.
Like, yeah, we just heard it. So I was like, what?
Yeah.
What, oh, did they hear it too? If they heard it too, then it
oh, it's totally on the fucking record.
You sack of shit.
This is professionalism, everyone.
We just gave a fucking workshop on how to do a podcast.
And we still don't know for ourselves.
Complicated stuff, man.
I don't know.
We had prefaced the workshop with, we don't fucking know what we're doing.
Yeah. Here's we were like, we're okay at this. Up. Yeah.
Don't do these things.
Yeah. Like, if you had to go back and look at it from a, like, from an outsider standpoint on that panel, you gotta think, like, these guys are just showing us how to do this way better than they actually know how to do this. And that's kind of, like, it's bad business.
What's but we did it teachers? Anyway. Like,
yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
Which is still good. I actually wanted to ask you guys, since you guys are into the horror thing, we actually recently got to interview two different, well, I guess technically three different people who are associated with Action Lab, and they just got that new contract with Full Moon, which means they're putting out Full Moon Action Lab books. Are you guys excited for stuff like that? The fact that they're, like, this is becoming popular, like, shitty B-horror movies are getting their own comic books and stuff like that. Does that make you guys, like, really stoked to be in on the ground floor of horror comics?
Yeah, I think anything that's going to advance the fan base, advance the, you know, the information base as well, that there's horror comics out there that aren't being put out by Vertigo, you know, essentially, yeah. Or maybe even Image, that there's other options.
Right.
I want to talk about that stuntman thing. Yes. I want to know more about that.
Well, I did theater for about 5 years, and then there was a Nicolas Cage movie came to our hometown and had an open audition, and I went in for that and didn't get the part. And then they saw where I had martial arts and gun experience, and then so they actually had me come in and test for doing the stunts. And I didn't make the cut on that one, and then 2 weeks later, they're like, hey, we've run out of Russian thugs to kill. Do you want to come be killed? And I'm like, absolutely! And, and so, yeah, it starts off in a scene in a movie called Rage where and I was super happy because the scene where I'm actually trying to kill Nicolas Cage made the trailer.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I was just like super stoked about that. And I'm actually getting to shoot a fully automatic street sweeper shotgun in the scene.
Ooh,
and yeah. And so there was one of the nights where they actually we filmed the scene with me getting shot first. And so they hand me this plastic, pump action shotgun. And then the next night when I'm actually getting to shoot the gun, they hand me the street sweeper that has a canister clip. And I was like, I look at the stunt coordinator going, Johnny, this is the pump action shotgun last night. What is this? And he's like, hold on, let me go get the director. And the director comes over there and he's from Spain. And he's like, you know what? I don't care. This French asshole over here just wants lots of bullets flying around. He paid lots of money. Just use the street sweeper. I don't care. Okay. And so I'm like, and that's how this must happen in movies when you realize, you know, continuity. But the thing is that the people that did the editing cropped it in a way to where you actually don't see the bottom of the shotgun, so it still looks like I'm holding the same shotgun, which was very cleverly done. Anyway, it was an awesome scene, and then from there, they called me back to come do some other ones, so they put a ski mask on me, and I'm one of the guys that ends up kidnapping his daughter in a different part of the movie, and then they kept calling me back to do another scene, and one day, I was just actually on set from something else, and I couldn't leave because it was blocked in, and so the stunt coordinator's got the jacket in his hand, he's walking towards the car that does all the main stunts, and I jokingly just say, hey, Johnny, you need another stunt double, and he just stops, he looks at me, he throws the jacket at me, goes, hope you can drive, and oh, shit! Next thing I know, I'm peeling around corners in the Mustang in the scene. I didn't do the major stunt scene that you see in the movie, but a lot of the filler stuff you see of him just peeling around corners is actually me. And I was like, sweet! You know, by complete accident. So,
can you tell us which movie this is?
He said yeah, Rage.
Yeah,
I'm watching the trailer right now.
That is so fucking cool, dude.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's a Nick Cage movie. You better fucking watch
that's
it.
That's a hell of a way to get into a job.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, from there, I ended up being an extra on a couple of other things, and then I ended up being one of the recurring carnies that you always see on American Horror Story on the fourth season. And then, so from there, then I an agent contacted me, and then she's been getting me auditions, and then I got booked a speaking part on the TV show Zoo as a French cab driver. Don't speak a lick of French, so I don't know how I pulled that one off.
Hold on 1 second.
Go ahead.
What kind of microphone are you using? Is it USB?
Yeah. I'm on a Logitech headset or something like that.
I think it fixed itself. You were sidelining for a second.
I just saw you!
Colin, in the middle of our conversation watching the trailer, he's like, there you were! You were in the trailer!
But it cleared up. I'm sorry.
So, okay. Sorry, continue that story now that you don't sound like a cyborg.
Right. that's one of the other characters I play. I'm just kidding. Anyway, from there, I got on to Zoo, and then there was a couple of other movies. I another movie that came here just to make a little extra couple of money. I started off as a stand-in for the main character, and then one night he wasn't available to do one of the stunts. His stunt double actually didn't. His flight got canceled, and so they were like, hey, do you mind putting on the suit and doing a stunt for it? I'm like, absolutely, let's do this. And so I signed the forms that made it official, and then I was doing a scene where I'm getting shot at by the SWAT team, and so they've got all the little packets that blow up the leaves and the pieces of metal around me, and I did that in one take, and the director was like, holy crap, and so anyway, for this from there, it's just lots of stuff that I do. I still do a little bit of theater, a little improv, a little this is stuff when I'm not working on a comic book or doing my regular art stuff.
Yeah,
and
that's
so, and I'm still
I have a background in theater and
as
improv,
do I
and
as does Chris.
We're all theater kids.
Colin and I grew up at around the age of 12 starting to do acting and stuff together, and then we went to high school together, and he kept going with acting, and I did a little bit of it and ended up in technical theater doing sound and set design, and then Chris ended up doing theater and doing
technical
a lot of
theater.
Technical theater doing
light design.
Which
is why we have a podcast now, ultimately. Yeah, pretty much.
Because Chris and I met each other doing live sound recording and engineering technologies in college. So it kind of all fit together well. And we were like, oh, we all like to talk, and we're overdramatic, and two of us knew how to run the soundboard, so fuck it. Just talking to a mic and put it on the internet.
So is being a stunt guy as fun as I hope it is?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I've only done it for like 3 different films. I'm not like what you'd call a professional stunt guy, more of what they call a stunt performer. I probably have done more acting than I've done the stunt stuff. But, when you're allowed to drive the car down a street at 100 miles an hour and the cops are watching you with a smile like, yeah, look at that guy. And you're like, I'm not getting a ticket for this. it's just awesome shit. And then when they tell you, all right, we're going to turn around and act like you're going to get shot, you got to be dramatic and hit the ground, and I was like, all right, cool. And then you do got the days where, they shoot a blank gun at you and little dust hits you in the eyes and you're like, oh, crap. And they're like, that was perfect. I'm like, okay, good.
I didn't know the bullet was supposed to hit me right in the eye in 100 pieces. That was awesome.
Right in the face. Yeah, let's do that
careful
again. How many takes?
Did you heard of Brandon Lee? Jesus.
Too soon.
22 fucking
years.
No,
not too soon.
That's the story of my life.
Exactly.
All but a year.
Same way Abraham Lincoln died. A loaded gun on a set.
Oh,
it hurts so much. Is that one too soon? I'm sorry.
Too tsunami.
It just gets darker and darker.
Okay, so Kevin, do you have any hidden talents?
Oh, I can't. Not that I can match with those. Other than psychotherapy, that's my main other hidden talent.
That just blows. Like that
that's
just
so cool.
That is so neat. I mean,
You said hidden You said hidden talents, and I was like, yeah, he's about to armpit fight. Armpit fart in the microphone.
I swear to God, I just started doing this. Or like, what is it? I can't even do it anymore.
Colin doesn't even know how to hands.
There we go. Yeah, I can do this.
The church. Here's the steeple.
The church and steeple thing with it. Like, here's all the people.
Jesus.
No, so doing the psychotherapy thing, I assume you went to college for that.
No, he just winged it.
Set up like a lemonade stand.
Like Lucy.
Lucy, exactly. Somehow avoided prosecution for 7 years.
5 cents to talk to me about why you cut your dick off.
So, should we be calling you Dr. Kevin?
Dr. Laporte?
master's degree.
No. Okay. No.
Just a master's.
Just master.
Okay. Yeah. Just master. Master Laporte.
Master Laporte.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Sir Laporte.
Yes, your comic book, sir. Thank you.
Oh, God. I love it so much. So, okay. You said that...
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. You said that you started out doing the psychotherapy thing. What exactly, in the middle of your career doing this, got you thinking, like, fuck, I should just do, like, crazy horror comic books?
I really wanted to write since I was a teenager. And I still have a few scripts that I wrote in, like, my freshman year of college that were kind of superhero stuff. But then, you know, college, I got married too young and went to grad school and then got this job at the psych hospital and just never had time, never followed up. And then about 9 years ago now, I decided I wanted to do something different. I'm actually surprisingly close to retirement and wanted to start thinking about what I'm going to do after that. And so, you know, it takes years and years and years to, for one, get decent at writing, to learn how to do it, to learn how to script a comic, to get exposure, to make contacts, to meet artists, and to get established. So that's why, you know, pretty much procrastinated for about 20 years longer than I intended to get. Here we are.
One day I was like, fuck, I really got to get this done.
Yeah.
I just got to quit bartending, man.
Yeah, each of us has, like, full-time jobs that we do as well, and it's that weird balancing act of being like, okay, when do we think we can make enough money doing this hobby to where I don't have to walk into a factory every day?
At least yours is interesting.
Yeah.
You put stuff in boxes all day.
That's true. Our producer and myself, we both work at the same facility, and which is how we met, and it actually, yeah, my job is a little bit more interesting. It's a little bit more dangerous.
Nobody
yeah.
cares about your job, dangerous. Alex. They care about the job of the guests that we have to talk on about the job.
Hey, you know what? You're right, and I should shut up.
Well, I mean, we should totally just do a factory work
episode.
Yeah.
Go ahead, guys. I'm sorry.
Well, even when me and Kevin started, actually, I was still working for a company doing web support just a little over 2 years ago. You know, I was the thank you for calling Televox. How can I help you? Blah, blah, blah. So yeah,
turning it on and turning it.
I mean,
off.
At one point, yeah, it is not a cup holder. Please put the. So, God. But it was actually for websites and stuff like that. Right. No, I can't fix your email and blah blah blah. And one day, I just realized I was doing such a bad job at this. I realized, well, they're probably going to fire me soon. So let me get this other career cooking and going.
Yeah,
I don't have a very. Hoping chance of longevity in this, so why don't I just do something I actually enjoy?
Exactly. And I'll probably make the same amount of money because they paid crap, so I might as well just, instead of having the soul sucked out of me in this cubicle, why don't I go do what I love and, you know, have a flexible schedule?
That's how I feel about it, too. I mean, I'm in the same position. I get jobs and I hate them, and then I get bored, and then they hate me, and I can make the same, you know, peasant wage by doing other things that pay a peasant wage and are more fun.
Printing t-shirts, loading in stuff, making buttons, just more fun shit for the same $0.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so now, like, on a day, you know, okay, coming up Wednesday, my agent may contact me and say, hey, you've got an audition over in Baton Rouge. I can take the day. Say, screw it. I'm going to drive 3 hours, do a 10-minute audition, and drive 3 hours back because I'm that kind of crazy. But
I love it. That's awesome. I'm jealous.
I've done that. So bad.
That sounds like so much fun.
Right.
Now, where are you guys based out of?
We're in South Alabama. I'm in Fairhope, near Mobile, and Nathan's in Mobile.
Holy shit, I'm from Pensacola.
Okay.
Nice.
Next door.
Neighbors, yeah.
Yep.
Very nice. I like that little connection.
Down in Alabama.
Yeah, I was fixing to say, I was like, wait, I was about 3 hours from Baton Rouge. Where are y'all?
Not bad. But yeah, I in terms of like having all three of our hosts being writers... Kevin, when you were like in high school and college and stuff, did you intend on following a writing path and just kind of realize like, oh, I could probably make a decent amount of money doing psychotherapy and it kind of interests me as well? Or did you just kind of fall into writing later after realizing when you were younger, you were like, oh, I enjoyed this?
I did a lot of creative writing, but it was mostly just for my own benefit. And I considered doing it as a career, but I couldn't see a clear path at that point of how to make it and still, you know, make a living. Yeah. And I really enjoyed psychology. It was fascinating. And so most of my writing was technical writing, psychological reports, boring things like that. But I, like I said, I've done off and on scripts or short stories or things like that over the years that kind of brought me to the point that I was at, you know, in like 2009, where I actually started writing comic scripts in earnest, you know, and actually directing stories and learning how to write stories better.
So just like a long process of figuring it out and seeing where you fit.
Yeah. And seeing how I wanted to go about it and what I wanted to write.
Yeah.
You know, which was, you know, I've got like stories from the early 90s that are like, I've got an Excalibur script, you know,
Captain
Megan.
Colin perked up when you said that.
got like a Freedom Force with the Mystique's Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, you know, a script about them. And they're not great. They're better than I thought they would be 20 years, you know, in retrospect.
Yeah.
But I've just learned a lot and decided something I want to do all the time. So
did you guys just kind of decide that you wanted to start your own, like, publication company? Or was it one of those things where you'd fished around to other places and you were like, fuck it, let's just do it ourselves?
It didn't take long looking into it to realize that it's, especially in the internet age, it's just easy to do it yourself.
Yeah.
Because when you're dealing with submissions and things like that, you're basically relying on the charity of one person's opinion. You know, usually a submissions editor, or if it's an indie publisher, the publisher himself, and they may or may not like what you do or the type of story that you tell or you as a person. And it's really hard to break in with other people. But when you can do it on your own and there's crowdfunding available to help you print and publish, distribute, you know, it's a lot of work that you have to do yourself. But it also gives you the freedom to do it, to let people see it, to and for it to flourish, which is, you know, what's happening. Yeah, it's just easier now, I think, to do it yourself. And then you find other people you partner with. You know, like we will be going in to the mainstream distribution system here starting this summer with a partner, a company called Cosmic Times out of South Florida.
Cool. Congratulations with that. That's fantastic.
I'm stoked.
Also, another very small publisher, basically one person running that company, but somebody I met through Cons, actually.
Cons great?
Yeah, that networking. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's how we met the colorist for my book, actually. I remember him coming up to the table. I was originally contracted to do the pencil, ink, and the colors. And then this guy comes up. He, you know, we get a lot of people showing us their artwork, you know, and it's very cool. But this guy, you know, he showed it, and we're trying to contain ourselves, you know. I mean, on the deep and on the inside, I'm going, oh, my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And then finally, you know, we're like, all right, we'll talk to you later. And the guy goes to walk off. I look over at Kevin with eyes as big as plates, and I'm like, let's work him into the contract. He has to color in my book.
I need him, Daddy. That,
yes, make it so. And that's how Kevin Michelli came to actually color the Last Ride for Horsemen for
the coloring's actually gorgeous. On yeah, that it book. Is. I've been looking at stills, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I don't know if you can tell the difference between the cover. I did the color for the cover because I think before we had him on, I had already started working on the cover. But then when he came in and it's like, holy shit, so much better than mine.
Some people are just better at colors. Some people are better at paint, like pencils, and some are better at inks. And you just gotta find where you're good.
I'm really good at slamming my fists into the keyboard.
Yeah.
That's what I'm real good at.
I'm good at looking at other people's artwork and going, no, I like that.
An critique.
Yeah.
Not even critique. It's just kind of slack-jawed amazement.
Like, oh, that I can actually tell that that's a hand. It's incredible. Mine just looks like...
So you're not looking at a Rob Liefeld?
Name drop.
That's such low-hanging fruit. I'm sorry.
That's right?
Yeah, that, I mean, that joke has been brought up several times by everyone who's ever read a comic book.
But let's be real, he did create a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it, all critique aside, without him, we wouldn't have fucking Deadpool. So.
True. Very true.
What's in the pipeline for you guys? We've got, you said there is, let's see.
Flesh of Light is one that I'm very familiar with. Amanda works on that one. And then Clown Town that turned into Vicious Circus, I know about that one.
Why are we trying to tell them what's in the pipeline?
That's what I'm at. Yeah, I was asking them.
No, I was here surprised that they already have.
I don't know about.
It's actually very impressive to see. You know, I'm like, all right, they're already up to speed on it. Nice. we've got the next Horseman coming up. We just finished the Kickstarter and everything for that. The printing's about to get, I guess, started or done, Kevin.
Yeah, we're going to print this week on the second issue of Horseman.
And then, because Pestilence, you know, we kind of, he starts off as like this snake oil salesman kind of idea. Ooh. And you quickly realize that he's up to a whole bunch of no good. And the town, you know, I've got some of the town are rising up with him. The other townsfolk have got to figure out how they got to, you know, get rid of him or do what they're going to do. And then I'm about to start the artwork for the third one, which we're going to base it off of War. And the one thing that I loved that I got to suggest to Kevin that he fully agreed with quickly was that we didn't want to make War like every other thing with the giant warrior going around with a big axe killing everybody. We decided we want somebody who starts War. So we made War a woman.
Nice.
And then as soon as I sketched her out, actually one of the biggest compliments to my artwork is somebody came up and actually was like, I'm going to cosplay her. I was like, what?
So cool. That's so flattering. It's got to be flattering when that happens.
Yeah. Oh, like amazing. And there's another piece that I did where I had Iron Man flying with the Blue Angels. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar. Yeah. Olivia's, but...
you can hear her pant in the background.
Big red camera.
Oh, that's true. I don't know about that.
Oh, no, I didn't turn the option on. But anyway, so a big thing for my ego boost was is that a lady took that piece that I did and actually had it tattooed on her arm.
Whoa! That's sick.
Yeah. That's cool. So it's Iron Man with yellow and blue colors flying with three blue angels over his head on her arm, and I was like, what? So cool. That's
fucking rough. I'm on you now.
I used to live about 3 months in their practice field, so we watched them practice over my house as a kid.
That's and that nice. Was
so amazing. So I'm going to have to see that.
You can go on Facebook and do a search for Nate's art, and there should be a picture on there, actually. I actually took a picture of she actually put it up on Facebook and tagged me, and so it should be on my art page.
Okay, cool. We might steal that and throw it in the show notes.
Yeah, we actually had another friend of ours this weekend we were talking to who does comic book art stuff, and same thing happened to her. Dude just, like, posted a picture of something that she had drawn tattooed on him, and she was like, I've never even met that guy.
Right?
And it's like the biggest compliment, but the weirdest fucking thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got a guy that tattooed one of the clowns on his forearm.
which clown?
Stage Fright, the girl.
Oh, that's dope.
The crazy God, like that. Yeah.
That just feels like the biggest compliment.
It really does.
Especially when you don't even know about it. I had another friend actually had to tell me about, hey, I got a friend who got the tattoo of your art. And I was like, wait, what?
that's like the writer's equivalent of being like, ah, a quote of mine is tattooed on somebody's ribs. Yeah, that's awesome.
I would love that.
I would too.
You don't think that, like, every time Stan Lee sees with great power comes great responsibility tattooed on somebody, he's not like, yo, that's dope.
He doesn't get a little bit of a boner, like, yeah, I
made. I was about to say, yeah, he gets a bit of a chubby when he has.
Oh man, that old
half chub, if you will.
He can't stand to, like, really.
And that's give the up only time Stan Lee gets a boner.
He is like 125 years old now, so
older than Methuselah.
I think we're running out now, guys.
Yeah, we are. What are you guys reading right now? Like, we have our guests do a pick of the week, and that can be something you're enjoying, something you're reading, something you think everybody should go out and check out.
One title?
It could be
whatever.
Several,
literally,
whatever,
anything.
Literally anything.
Like even an actor or a writer. Just fucking whatever.
One of the more...
You can do a few if you'd like.
One of the more unexpected books that I bought on a Comixology sale recently actually was the Transformers More Than Meets the Eye comic from IDW. Surprisingly good science fiction. Really funny. Really just an entertaining action book. But there's a lot of layers to the characterization. Just a really surprising book for a Transformers book. I mean, for what you would expect, you know. Very good read.
Okay, cool. IDW is doing such good things with their properties. Like,
I agree.
It is in good hands.
Funny enough, because I did a crossover with one of our other artists, Rando, the other story, The Absentee. I did a crossover cover with our Plowman character and one of his characters. And from that, I had to actually go back and look at his comic book a little closer to get an idea. And it's funny because I didn't realize, like, oh, my God, I haven't actually read his book yet. So I'm actually in the middle of catching up on The Absentee, one of our own titles. But besides that, I'm actually doing a little retrospect, going back and reading some of the Batman and Superman storyline, just to see, and the artist at the time, his stuff is just amazing. And I hate to be so right brain oriented, but if the art doesn't catch me, it's hard sometimes for me to actually jump into the story. But yeah, he's got some great art going on.
Yeah, I've had that problem with a book that I've been slightly interested in, and then I see the art, and I'm just like, no, I don't want to keep doing this. I don't want to read it anymore.
Which Batman Superman run are you reading? The Jeff Loeb run?
It's the it's part of the New 52.
Oh, okay. Damn it all.
Yeah, no, it is good. A lot of people, as much as there have been a lot of complaints about the New 52, Batman and Superman got a lot of good.
Yeah, it was good.
A lot of good press.
Most all the stuff coming out of the Bat family was good during the New 52. So that's just my opinion, man.
So where can people listening to this podcast track you guys down and find more about what you do?
We're mostly active on Kickstarter, and we have something about every 6 to 8 weeks up on Kickstarter, and you can just search under Inverse Press and it'll pull up our projects on Kickstarter. We have one now ending on Tuesday. But we have a website, InversePress.com, or on Facebook, where we're probably a little more active at Inverse Press.
Cool.
Sounds you can good. Also go to my art page on there, which is just Nate's Art. And I guess, shameless plug, as an actor, my actor page is Nathan O'Neill Smith. But as far as the artwork goes, I post everything I can on there. I used to do DeviantArt, but not so much lately.
Yeah, it did seem to fall off a little bit.
Yeah. It got kind flooded. Of, really flooded.
It got muddy.
The community strangled itself, essentially, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But no, that's awesome. Do you guys have anything else coming up to plug? Any new releases or anything you guys want to, like, kind of drop a little, I guess, like, secretive preview or exclusive preview kind of thing? Tell people you might have what you have in the works.
Yeah. Our first book in previews is going to be Flesh of White. It's going to be in the June previews under publisher Cosmic Times. That's Erica Heflin and Amanda's book about witch doctors trying to kill albinos in Tanzania, Africa. It's a supernatural horror based on real events that happen now. And so that's going to be a 4-issue miniseries monthly starting in June. Actually be in shops in August.
That sounds awesome.
That sounds fantastic.
It's a great story.
I'm gonna keep an eye out for that. Yeah.
And then as far as things down the line, what Amanda is working on now is an adaptation of Shakespeare's Titus Andronicus that's set in like a science fantasy setting with feathered dinosaurs as their mounts, and it's just a crazy wild take on it, but it's translated literally. It's all of Shakespeare's words, but I've staged it in this wild science fantasy setting.
Sold.
Yeah, no shit. I'm all in.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
I need that. I need that's in great. My life. Yeah. No shit.
That sounds fantastic. Like,
I'm so excited.
Yeah, no shit.
Oh, I'll send you the first couple of double-page spreads that she's done. We've got them colored up, and it just looks amazing.
Yeah, please do. Please drop us those.
That'd be fucking... Yeah, I'd love to see the preview on that, for sure.
Well, you guys just keep writing more weird horror, and I will keep
buying more weird horror.
Yeah. guys, do we have picks?
Yeah, actually. The guys at Ultimate Comics, yeah. I just want to, like, this is kind of a weird thing to pick. But
mushy.
Yeah, like, we just got done doing the Oak City Comic Con, and...
It's a plug, Alex.
It's not really. It's really not. Go for it. Like, the guys there were so great to us, and we had what was essentially maybe the best day in modern memory that we've had, period. And if you can do anything at all to support, like, to support those guys, go buy books from Ultimate and go talk to them, buy Brockton and Bo a beer, like, do whatever you can to, like, show those guys that, you know, it's appreciated what they do. That's my pick, is that whole crew, like, everyone on the henchmen, like, Moose and Stacy and our friend Kib.
I didn't see.
It was awesome from start to end, and everybody that's involved with that show, just a big thank you. And my pick is those guys because they're great. So,
yeah. I just this week started watching the FX People versus OJ Simpson, and it's fantastic. I can't express how good it is. What's his face? Ross from
David Schwimmer.
Yes, David Schwimmer plays Robert Kardashian. And he's awesome. It's not how I view Robert Kardashian as a person, but as a character in the show, he does an amazing job. Wow, I'm so bad with names today. It's awesome. Cuba Gooding Jr. knocks it out of the park. All of the supporting cast is great. And my favorite thing is just seeing the Kardashian kids, because the little girls that they picked are so sassy and ridiculous. And there was a line in the show where Robert Kardashian is like, in this family, we're Kardashians, and we care about helping our friends and not about being famous or something. And I was like, what? That's a little ham-fisted.
Bullshit.
Right.
but the show is amazing, and I can't. It's a 10-issue or 10-episode miniseries, and I can't wait to get to the end and see how, not how it wraps up, but how they portray it.
What do you mean he's not guilty?
Twist ending.
Fucking spoilers, man.
Yeah.
That's rad. That's rad.
It's fucking gorgeous.
All three of us held it together while Chris was giving his pick as I'm passing around the picture that Kevin sent to me of the panel from the new Amanda Rachel's book that you guys were just talking about. We all keep it quiet. Chris sees it right after he's done with his pick, and he pees himself and screams on the mic. That's how that works.
You're fucking gorgeous.
It's beautiful, guys.
I need that in my life.
Yeah, no shit.
Oh.
Yeah. And here's the second one. Go ahead, Colin.
Yeah. My pick this week is, oddly enough, it's a Kickstarter. It's a Kickstarter for my friend's anthology book called From Parts Unknown, A Journey to the Heart of Professional Wrestling. And it's a comic book anthology that my buddy Brett is doing. Let's see who else is going to be in this. Rob Schamberger and Jared Fletcher are involved. Rob Schamberger did the cover. Some pro wrestling history from the Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels. I know you guys out there love pro wrestling. This is a project that I believe in, and I'll be giving money to it as soon as I can. It's a beautiful book, and it's made with love, and the guy who's doing it is the biggest fan of professional wrestling that I've ever met, and I really want to see this book get made. So just go to Kickstarter and search for From Parts Unknown, and it will pop right up. It's by, what is it? Jeffrey Brett Williams is the name. I know him, but I call him Brett, so it's kind of weird, but go out and support this. It's so great, and support all the awesome stuff at Inverse Press as well. Because without you guys, the fans, we wouldn't have this stuff coming out.
Yep.
So continue to support it.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that's it.
Guys, you got anything you wanna plug or tell our audience or make fart jokes?
Nobody's been holding one in.
I got one.
Yeah, as soon as we're done with this, I'm going to go flying around the room like a balloon.
It's the best joke I've had all day. It's so good.
Why did the walrus keep buying Tupperware?
Why?
Because he was looking for a tight seal.
Oh God!
Speaking of therapy.
Oh, you don't want to step into this one, man.
From the guy who hates puns.
Yeah.
Colin Norris, everybody.
You guys have been fantastic.
Thank you so much.
I'm so sorry that we are so energy deficient today.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
And we'll have to have you back on soon because you guys rock it, and I've had a great time.
Yeah, are you guys going to be at Heroes Con?
Not this year.
Okay.
Make it next year.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, we'll see you then for sure.
Because we do that. But yeah, once again, thank you guys for being on, and we'll definitely get you back soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Cool. From Name Redacted Podcast. Thanks for having us. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, of course. Anytime. I'm Alexander Fulmer.
I'm Chris Nielsen.
And I'm Colin Norris. Go out and touch some butts.
A done.